Everyone, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary, and this is the live ebook series, and this is Good Friday. So we're going to have a little bit of an abbreviated session, but one that was apropos as well, as you'll see what the reading is for today. So we're grateful to have awakened today, truly, and we're truly blessed to be live at this time. We're going to begin with a prayer, and we're going to take the last two paragraphs in the 24 hours of the Passion, the 3 p.m. hour, as our supplication. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now I beseech you to requite the company I have kept you by being present to all those who are in agony. Be a mother to them all, as these are extreme moments, and they are in need of great assistance. Do not deny your maternal office to any one of them. Let me say one last word as I leave. I beseech you to enclose me in your most sacred heart of Jesus. Watch over me, sorrowful mother. Keep me always enclosed in the divine heart of Jesus, so that I may never leave it, even if I should choose to. O mother, with this prayer, I kiss your hand and ask for your maternal blessing. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as I said, we're going to have a little bit of an abbreviated session. But I thought we were just going to go to the Adoration Chapel because it's beautiful, although our Lord's not present there as we await the resurrection, but it's just beautiful. So perhaps we'll begin, because it actually the reading for today in this session has to do with the hours of the Passion, so apropos. So we'll do that. We'll stop, and then we'll go to Poland in the Adoration Chapel as we await the resurrection, of course, that we know is going to happen and has happened. We also await and pray for the true resurrection, the real resurrection, as Jesus states, the resurrection of our human will. And that is destined to happen now, while we're alive, not at the time of death. That's a paradigm shift. So let's go to the session. We have been going through 5.3711, and we're actually on 270, I believe. Let me just, 270. Okay, so let's just bring us up to speed where 270 is. Similarly, Louisa affirms that God's gratuitous gift of living in the divine will empowers man to continuously cooperate with his eternal being that transcends man's finite and temporal being. This gift is realized by virtue of God's great, unheard of, and long chain of graces. It's the long chain of graces that we're going to focus on. That's footnote number 270 that Father Nuzzi brings us to. And this is from volume 11, September 6, 1913. Value, effects, and divine nobility of doing the hours of the Passion. How appropriate. You know, the hours of the Passion, too, is not just for Holy Week. It's for all year. In fact, Father Anuzzi, in one of our question and answer sessions, somebody asked if you don't have a lot of time due to other commitments and you really want to journey quickly as you possibly can in the divine will, what would be your advice? And Father Anuzzi suggested to participate in the hours of the Passion. For that very reason, because we truly are participating with Christ in his suffering, the cross, which is our vehicle to everlasting life. So the hours of the Passion, very important. This is from 11, I said, volume 11, September 6, 1913. So Louisa says, I was thinking about the hours of the Passion, which now have been written, and how they are without any indulgence. So those who do them do not gain anything, while there are many prayers enriched with many indulgences. While I was thinking of this, my always adorable Jesus, all kindness, told me, my daughter, one gains something through the prayers with indulgences, but the hours of my Passion, which are my own prayers, my reparations and all my love came really from the depth of my heart. Did you perhaps forget how many times I united myself with you to do them together? And I turned chastisements into graces over the entire earth? So my satisfaction is such that instead of the indulgence, I give the soul a handful of love, which contains infinite love of incalculable price. Further, when things are done for pure love, my love finds its outpouring. And it is not inconsiderable that the creature can give relief and expression to the love of her creator. That in of itself corroborates exactly what Father Annuzzi said from the words of Jesus. And, you know, it's so important to recognize, too, that the Book of Heaven, the Hours of the Passion, these are the words of Jesus. These are not words that were influenced by Jesus, although those are beautiful, those are holy. These are the exact words of Jesus to Louisa and to us. And when he says, I united myself with you to do them together, and I turned chastisements into graces over the entire earth. How important is that right now? Because some of the plans that are being concocted right now to further this fight against God, that's all it is. It's never stopped. It's being played out by humans. Paul says it's principalities. It's not individuals. Yes, some know what they're doing, of course. Some don't. Our Lady Fatima said, there'll come a time where there'll be a diabolical disorientation. When good will be bad, and bad will be good. And even good people will do bad things, thinking they're doing good. Confusion. Disorientation. I think that's exactly where we are right now. I'd like to read this one more time, and I think we're just going to stop at this, and I'd like to read something else, if I may, on this Good Friday, and then go to Poland. Again, Louisa, I was thinking about the Hours of the Passion, which now have been written, and of course we now have the churches in Imprimatur and Nihil Obstat, and the Nihil Obstat was given by a saint, Saint Annibal. And how they are without any indulgence. So those who do them do not gain anything, while there are many prayers enriched with many indulgences. And while I was thinking of this, my always adorable Jesus, all kindness told me, my daughter, one gains something through the prayers with indulgences. They're good, they're holy. But the hours of my passion, which are my own prayers, my own reparations and all of my love came really from the depth of my heart. Did you perhaps forget how many times I united myself with you to do them together? And I turned chastisements into graces over the entire earth? So my satisfaction is such that instead of the indulgence, I give the soul a handful of love, which contains infinite love of incalculable price. Further, when things are done for pure love, my love finds its outpouring. And it is not inconsiderable that the creature can give relief and expression to the love of her creator. It's not inconsiderable that the creature can give relief. That's extraordinary. How can we, nobodies, deaden the pain of our blessed Lord? Absorb that pain in the certain crosses that we all experience in our lives. To be able to compassionate our blessed Lord from reading and praying and having an intention, because it's his words, it's his heart. It's everything of him. There's no contamination. There's no human will mixed in. As much as one may try to prevent that, it's impossible. So when people say, well, Louisa wrote that. Well, she transcribed it. She was a stenographer. She was the secretary. Actually, he destined her. Claims she was the secretary of the divine will. Secretary keeps notes. She didn't initiate the writing or the writings. God did. Again, Holy Scripture is beautiful. It's holy. It's the base of our church, along with the Eucharist, of course. But Scripture was influenced by Christ. The divine will, the hours of the Passion, was written by Christ. What a huge delineation. I believe that's why this is taking the church so long to fully proclaim this. Because as the Archbishop of Corrado said, they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to present this. There's some ambiguities, not errors, not problems, but perhaps a dilemma. How does the church present this? Since it's greater than everything else that the church has been given up to this point. How do you jump from 2 to 10 without explaining 3 through 9? That's a good problem, but this is a dilemma, and that's what they're dealing with right now. So if we could maybe spend the rest of this time on this cenacle after we do a bit of a reading more. In the Adoration Chapel, although our Lord's not there right now, but let us pray. Let us petition. Louisa petitioned. Let's ask for this resurrection that Jesus says is going to occur now, if we want it. The resurrection of our human will while we're on earth with the ability to suffer. It's an unprecedented opportunity. And Jesus says he'll only give it once. That's astonishing. Since it's Good Friday, I'd like to go to this, if I may. I can find it. Let's see. Okay. This is from divinewill.org. I believe Father Celso has a hand in this, for lack of a better word. So we're going to pray this on this Good Friday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Forgive me for the many evil desires, and for the affections and tendencies which are not good. Forgiveness, O Jesus, for many who place your love after the love of creatures, and to give you all the glory that these have denied you. I offer you everything that your most adorable heart has done and continues to do. How do we do that? I'll place all this on the website as well. It's from the 22nd hour, 2 to 3 p.m. Our Lord, give me forgiveness for the many thoughts of pride, of ambition, and of self-esteem. That's for the head. Beautiful eyes, I ask your forgiveness for all the times I have offended you with evil and immodest gazes, your sacred ears. Forgive me for all the times I have listened to or made others listen to discourses which move us away from you, and for all the evil discourses made by creatures. Your most holy face. Forgive me for the many scorns, offenses, and insults you receive from us, most miserable creatures, with our sins. Your most sacred mouth. Forgive me for all the times I have offended you with evil discourses, for all the times I have contributed to embittering you and increasing your thirst. Your most holy neck. Forgive me for the many bonds and many attachments of the creatures, which have increased the ropes and chains around your most holy neck. His most holy shoulders. Forgive me for the many illicit satisfactions. Forgiveness for the many sins committed with the five senses of our body. Your most holy breast. Forgive me for all the coldness, indifference, lukewarmness, and horrendous ingratitude. Your most sacred hands. Forgive me for all the evil and indifferent works, for many acts rendered malicious by love of self and self-esteem. Your most sacred feet. Forgive me for the many steps, the many paths covered with righteous intentions, and for the times I move away from you and go in search of the pleasures of the earth. It's beautiful. On this glorious Good Friday, we're going to go to Poland, the Adoration Chapel, which is beautifully decorated, you'll see in a moment. Perhaps we can spend this time on this Good Friday. Many of you might probably have family or friends over or have some plans this evening. So I think going to Poland, I'll leave it on till about 8 o'clock, but of course you're free to leave whenever you have to. But in our Lord's most holy divine will, let us ask, Lord, pray in my praying. And we know that God has promised the real resurrection now, the resurrection of our human will, to put our human will back in the position it was created. The human will was made to love God and to serve God and to possess God. And we can't do that without God's most holy divine will. We can't do it with our human will. We can elect to. We can desire to. But then, as they say, we have to let go. Can you imagine the resurrection of the human will in each and every one of us now, while on earth? That's not a fantasy. That can become a reality. But God's waiting for us to take the first step. He needs to know our intention. He needs to know our desire. He needs to know our wants. Remember our Blessed Lady, the perfect example. She wanted to please our Lord. She gave her fiat mihi. She had a question, a very respectful question. She wasn't contesting God, but she wanted to understand because she wanted to please him so much. How can this be? We may be asking the same question. How can we have a resurrected will? How can that happen now? How can it happen today, if you so please? Well, we know we must be in the state of grace. We must have an upright intention. We must want this for everyone, not just for ourselves. We must have an ardent desire to receive this. And last but not least, we must ask for it. God wants to hear us ask for it. And I think in that asking, it could be two ways. It could be verbalized, like we're doing right now, or it could be subliminal. It could be interior. Sometimes the interior conversations are better because they're least likely to be interrupted. Perhaps we ask now, right now, for that promise that God made, for He to resurrect our human will, to put it back in order, to firmly resolve to elect, to defer it to God's human will. If we remember Adam's first words, "My love, my God, the author of my life." God has each of our books written exactly the way they should be. And God, since He's the author, he controls the ending. And the ending of the book He wrote for each and every one of us is to be with Him for eternity. But He loves us so much that although He wrote the book, He gives us editing capability. He says, if you don't like it, you can change it. And that's what Adam did. He changed the book. Eve was tricked. We don't have to worry about writing our book. We don't even have to worry about doing God's will, because whatever God places in front of us for that moment, in essence, that's His will. Of course, if we voluntarily bring ourselves into precarious situations or sinful environments, of course, that's not His will. But maybe it's His will that just a handful of us are here this evening on this Good Friday, so that we may, on behalf of all, ask for, plead, petition, pray for, request that promised resurrection of our human will now while we're on earth. Our blessed Lord, just in closing, our blessed Lord tells us in many instances that everything's been given. It's really up to us on what we use or don't use and to what extent. He tells Louisa that there's much I've given you, but you yet have not fully masticated. You haven't fully discerned it. You haven't fully meditated on it. Because as St. John of the Cross states, and also the Articles of Vatican II, we begin with our own imagination. And not imagination, just, you know, fantasy. We're talking about trying to be close to our blessed Lord. We start with what we have. The meditation. And then the gratuitous gift, the mystical gift that God can give us and will give us if we want it, is that gift of contemplation, which brings us to a whole different level, a level inaccessible just in our human being. This is God elevating us, lifting us, placing us on another shelf, way above where we are. And it's through that contemplation that we're going to constantly climb back to where that great fall of Adam was. There's many stairs, but God is an elevator. God is by location. He can take us from anywhere and bring us anywhere. And He's going to do that if we want it. So perhaps we'll do that in Poland. And for all you of Polish heritage, thank you for this beautiful Adoration Chapel. As we pray that we can step in the breach, that we can do for those who don't know to do, don't want to do, or have neglected to do. There's only one Moses. There's only one Noah. And look what they did. God knows there's only going to be a few in the beginning. He's got us. He's got us nobodies. What a sense of humor he has. But it's through the nobodies that God can prove his might to all. How can she do it? How can he do that? Well, it's easy. It's not us doing it. It's just us cooperating with what God wants to do, has always wanted to do, but has waited until the right time. And Jesus says the time is now. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. Now. Right now. We're so blessed. We're blessed to be given everything that we've been given, including each other. In the months, maybe a year or two to come, we're going to realize that we're going to need each other much more than we ever imagined or ever thought of. The communion of saints is real. And this share in divinity is as well. He's got it all done. Just waiting for us to put our hand up. And with pleading eyes, Lord, I don't want to be like this anymore. Let me do for you, and then for my family, and my friends, and my enemies, and for all that I don't even know. He's actually put us in a position to be the greatest humble heroes in the history of mankind, if you really think about it. And we'd be remiss if we said we don't want to be a hero. I mean, I'm not a hero where, you know, we have a parade for us. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about to do good, to serve God, to love each other, to help one another. We can do that now through the divine will. Our acts and rounds affect change positively on all souls, past, present, and future. Doesn't matter where we are. What disability we may have, what lack of funds we may have, what lack of anything, because we really have everything that we really need. The other stuff is just obstacles that test us, sort of quiz us along the way. Don't give up. Remember also when you're praying for the resurrection of the will, pray for the health and vitality and safety for all those that are helping us. Father Nuzzi, Father Celso, Mother Gabriel Marie, Father Young, Father Brown, go on and on. They've all been given to us. Let us not limit God. Yeah, we can have our favorites. That's okay. But each of them have been called to help us. Each brings a slightly different perspective, not a different truth, but a different way, a different route of getting to where we need to be. Our job is to feel it out. Where can we make the most progress? But then not to shun the others, because they're all going to help us. Remember, God promises unity, but he says that desire of unity must be within us first. Again, he's waiting for us to take the first step. Imagine that. We take the first step out of the blocks, and then he runs the race for us. We about that. And we know he wins. Who's a faster runner than Jesus? This is our life, really. This is why we're born. And this is why we're truly alive at this time. I really believe that. There's some things we say it so often that we just, it's almost said in a cavalier mode. I don't mean it to be like that. But we really are destined to be here at this time, at this moment, with what we have, and to obtain what we don't have. And I think we can do that right now in Poland as we ask for, plead for the resurrection of our soul, our will, and the wills of all humans, past, present, and future. Have a blessed rest of the Good Friday. Or for you, all of you that are on Saturday right now, Holy Saturday, and have a blessed Easter. Before we go to Poland, I just want to mention we will be having Father Iannuzzi on Sunday, Easter Sunday. We'll begin at 1:30 with Adoration of the Holy Rosary, and Father will join us at 2:15 Eastern Time for about an hour and 15 minutes. Give us a short reflection, and then take our questions. Louisa asked Jesus questions on our behalf. She couldn't possibly ask all of them. There wouldn't be enough time to write it down. But now we have the opportunity to ask Father. Real time. Any question we have on the divine will. What a blessing. I love you all. And we're going to make it. We really are. I smile because I don't know how, but I know he's going to. He's going to bring us to the promised land. We're going to get there. Remember, he loves us much more than we love him. Let's go to Poland and let's ask. Let's begin that resurrection. Because if we take that first step forward, God's going to run the race. And he's going to win. God doesn't lose. God bless everyone. Blessed Easter.